That's one of my, I've got, you know, I think my favorite song list just keeps getting longer and longer and longer and longer.
Where were you when Mercy
walked? Yeah, well, I was down in the bottom of the pits is where I was at.
Right.
When Jesus, let me tell you, God is so good. Jesus loves you so much. I want to, real quick before I get going here, I want to just say that it's good to see all of you in the house today. And where did my sister-in-law go? Are you up there? You up there? Jennifer, I want to tell you, sweetheart, it's so good to see you this morning. We love you. And I'm going to tell you something. I've been praying that I see you on a Sunday morning, and I'm so happy to see you this morning. You and that beautiful family you got. Yep, we love you, sweetie. Let me tell you something. God is a God of restoration. I say it every Sunday. I say it because I mean it, and I've lived it. How many of you have lived a life of restoration?
Amen.
If you haven't, you've come to the right place to find out about it. God is in the saving business. It's what he does. You know, I was we're going through this Bible recap thing, and I'm already getting off track here, and I haven't even got started. We're doing this Bible recap study thing, me and my wife, and y'all remember Matt, my buddy Matt? He's up in Canada, whatever you say, Canada, I reckon, for us southern people. But he's up there, and he's wanting to do this Bible study, so we've been doing this. And we started out with Genesis, reading in Genesis, and it was so beautiful, the story, because the moment that man fell, God already had a plan. And I want you to know something. God's got a plan for you. Matter of fact, he had a plan for you before you were even born. I was sitting over there, and we were singing that song, and I had something come up to me, and I started asking God. I said, is it of you, Lord, or is it of me? Because if it's of me, I don't want to say anything. But if it's of you, I want to let it be known. And I'm going to tell you, I said, Jordan, I just feel like the Lord tell you that it's going to be better than you could possibly fathom. And I don't know what that means, buddy, but I just felt like the Lord told me to tell you that today. And so I don't know what it is, but hold on to it and get ready. That's all I can tell you. Get ready. We need to hold on to the hymn, don't we?
Amen.
You got your Bibles with you. Today I'm going to talk a little bit. We're going to be quick because we got all the kids. No, we're not. Who am I kidding? I don't need to lie on Sunday morning now. Lord, forgive me already. I just got started. We got all the kids in here, praise God. Isn't it beautiful to see all these children in the church?
Amen.
Man, I'm telling you what. We've been working on the nursery back there and getting things set up, and we got the playground here. We just got to put it together, so I'm going to ask for some volunteers coming up, hopefully if it doesn't rain this coming weekend, and get this thing put up for the kids to be able to play out here. But it is so good to see our church growing with such young people in it. Praise God. But today's message I'm going to entitle Resurrection Power. How many of you would like to have some resurrection power? How many of you got resurrection power? All right, let's go into Luke 24. I'm going to start at verse 1 here, and I'm going to read through this. Y'all read along with me. Now, on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they and certain other women with them came to the tomb bringing the spices which they had prepared. But they found the stone rolled away from the tomb.
Amen.
Then they went in and did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. And it happened, as they were greatly perplexed about this, that behold, two men, which we know these are angels, stood by them in shining garments. Then as they were afraid and bowed their faces to the earth, they said to them, "Why do you seek the living among the dead?" Ooh, that'll make me tear up. "He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spoke to you when he was still in Galilee, saying, 'The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified and the third day rise again?'" Let's bow our heads. Lord, God, just for the next period of time here, God, just let me hide behind the cross, God. Let these words that come out be an encouragement to somebody. Lord, we thank you for what you're going to do today and how you're going to set the captives free. And Jesus, we give you praise. God, we give you all the glory, and in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
So I want to ask you something now. How many of you know he is risen?
Amen.
Well, let me. I don't believe you. So repeat after me. He is risen. Now say it like you mean it, because some of you are still asleep. He is risen.
He is risen.
That's what we ought to be shouting this morning when we woke up out of bed. He isn't in that tomb. Praise God, Jesus is risen. Now there's a thing that we need to understand. Easter is not a memorial service. I don't know why people get that kind of feeling. We pay homage. Let me tell you something. It is not a memorial service. It is a power encounter with the Holy Ghost that raised him up out of that tomb is what it is. I don't come here and mourn what happened. I praise God and get excited about what's yet to happen. If we know Jesus, and if we know the power that raised him out of that grave, I'm telling you, ain't nothing that you ought to be looking at in a dreadful manner. When you wake up, you ought to get your happy shoes on. There was a guy preached one time here, and he danced around. I called him Happy Feet ever since that day. And you know what? I got happy feet. When I get excited, I get happy feet. And I see Carla up there. We start singing praises. She gets happy feet. We ought to all have happy feet because he is risen.
Amen.
If we can understand that and we know that it's not just a past event, but it is a present reality for us right now. See, the resurrection is not something that just happened. I want you to know something. You need to be resurrected daily.
Amen.
Say, well, what do you mean? I'm going to get into that, but I'm going to tell you right now, I want resurrection power flowing through me. Not just a stagnant one-time event. I want it to keep coming out of me. Everywhere and every place I go to, I want to see the dead raised. And I'm talking to you, the captive set free. Those that are in bondage broken. Joy restored. Happiness restored. Hope restored. Addictions broken. It's what we ought to be looking for.
Amen.
How many of you know that lies in resurrection power?
Amen.
Oh, God is so good. Today we're going to look at this, that's the account that we read right here in Luke 24, and I'm going to point out some things that we need to get a hold of, and boy, we ought to be shouting the victory every day, not just one Sunday. Pastor started this church here 28 years ago. He's been in ministry for 30 years. He preached 30 Easter sermons, 30. Now, I'm going to tell you something. Those 30 Easter sermons ought to be preached by us 365 days a year. It ought not be just a one-day event. We ought to be praising him and preaching the message of a risen Savior with every breath that we take.
Amen.
Ooh. I'm getting on fire. Getting on fire. It's hard not to. When God is so good, it's hard not to be on fire for him. Especially when I take a moment and I realize who I was and now who I am. That's right, Bruce. I see that hand, brother. Amen. You were one way, met Jesus, and now you're another way, brother. God is good.
Amen.
So let's look at it. The first thing we need to get a hold of, we need to flip over into Romans here, Romans 8. We need to, I hope I got some more waters down here. We're going to need them today, amen. Robbie told me the other day, it was funny, he and I were talking. He said, you don't need that microphone. You ought to just get rid of that thing. I said, don't tempt them. Don't tell anybody else that. They may pull the plug on it one day. I just want to make sure you ain't sleeping. I'm shouting for Jesus.
Amen.
Y'all crazy. I'm on fire for God every day. Now, am I jumping? Well, I don't know. Sometimes I do jump, and people look at me weird when I'm in the grocery store, and it's okay, I reckon. They would say, what's wrong with you? You say, I'm saved by grace.
Amen.
What's wrong with you? You're not. Come on. Come on over to the other side. You get some joy in your life when you get over here. Amen? All right. So let's go to Romans 8. We're going to read 8 and 11 here. But if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you. The number one thing you got to know is that Jesus is alive. And because Jesus is alive, it changes everything. Every other religion out there has somebody that they look to that has died and stayed in a grave. Their bones are there today. If you were to go find Muhammad's bones, Muhammad's bones are there. I'm telling you, every single one of them, you know who's not in the grave? Jesus Christ. He's alive. And so what that means for us then is that the spirit who raised Jesus from the dead is the same spirit that dwells in who?
Us.
In you. Man, that is good news. You ought to be shouting. I want y'all to repeat it after me. Say,
the same power
lives in me.
One more time.
That same power
lives in me.
Man, we need to start acting like it then.
Amen.
If we got it in us, we need to start tapping into it and start using it. I want you to understand something. This isn't just theology. It's not just a doctrine. It is transformational truth. You know what that means? It's truth that will change your life. You say, well, I know a bunch of truth. Well, just because you know it don't mean that you got wisdom to understand it or operate in it. There are tons of people out here who've been saved. They read the same verse, and they know it. They could quote it by heart, but you know where it stays? It stays right up here in this noggin. They got it right here. They can recite it. They can say it. They can do everything else. But you know what? It hadn't fallen 18 inches down into here. Because down into here is when it gets put into practice. I want you to understand something, that if you've been born again, you've got the power. You've got the knowledge of the power. But are you exercising the power? If not, you need to let it drop on down. Don't think that everything's going to be easy. Why would you need power if everything was easy? Why would you need any kind of resurrection power if life was just on autopilot, put on coast? Why would you need it? You wouldn't need it. But Jesus said, in this world, you're going to have trials and tribulations, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to take all that authority that's been given to me, and I'm going to give it to you, so that when the devil raises his head up, you got power over it. Ooh, Jesus is alive, and it changed everything. You are not powerless. You are filled with the resurrection power, and you need to understand it and know it, because he lives. I don't face tomorrow. I defeat tomorrow. I got victory over tomorrow. I don't just maintain. You understand? I don't need to just get by. I walk on top of it. You say, well, how do you do that? I do that because I believe the word of God. That's all I got to do. Is it easy? No. But you know what? Victory is mine. Victory is mine. Victory today is mine. Yeah, I told Satan to get thee behind. Victory today is mine. That's what you need to be shouting. Victory is mine. He's alive. The power is in me. Victory is mine. Is victory yours?
Amen.
Then let me hear it. Say, victory is mine.
Victory.
Now you're getting the point. The second thing out of this story we got to look at was that the grave couldn't hold him. Oh, let's flip over into Corinthians now. See, that's it. We'll go to 1 Corinthians 15. I'm going to read 55 through 57 here. It says, O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through the Lord Jesus Christ. See, when Jesus went in that tomb, the devil thought he won. Death thought he had the victory. Hell said, we have got victory over something. When he went in there, oh, the devil was thought one thing, but Jesus had another thing. See, the grave couldn't hold him back. Jesus didn't escape death. He destroyed death. Now, that's where my hope lies. I've said it before, you know, this ain't my home. This ain't your home. If you've been born again, you don't have a permanent address here. Let me tell you something. If you're not born again, you don't have a permanent address here either. But I promise you, where that address is, you don't want to go to.
That's exactly
well, they don't want to preach that for pulpits anymore. I'm telling you, hell is real.
Yes.
Just as real as heaven is. I saw this thing the other day. Can I go down a rabbit hole real quick? I'm trying not to. Well, I'm trying not to pace up and down the aisle. Y'all know I get a little antsy when I lose about 5-6 pounds when I need to run around more, don't I? Amen. Y'all be nice. My exercise plan. I was listening to something on the radio the other day, and it was really good. Now, parents, y'all could be mad at me, but I'm a parent too, so I'm speaking to me. But it was doing this interview with this guy, and he said the problem that we see today is that children who are not raised to fear their mother and father don't fear the Lord God Almighty. And I started thinking about that, and I thought to myself, I said, you know what? That makes perfect sense, because if you don't fear the father and mother that you can't see, how are you going to fear the father that you can't see? I'm telling you, parents, it's one thing to love your children. It's another thing not to teach them and correct them and guide them to where they have a reverent fear for your authority. That doesn't mean they're scared to death or how you're going to yell at them or whoop up on them or nothing like that. What I'm saying is I've never spanked my children, but my daughter could tell when I say something that I mean it. And yes, sir, is the answer that comes out. Now, they can have reverence towards me. Now, children, I'm talking to you too. You need to be looking to your parents as a reverent parent that's looking out for your best interest, trying to show you right from wrong and teach you the way to be. Your defilement with them, and your defiance with them is where you're going to learn that that takes you down the wrong path. I knew that was going to get a holy hush. That's okay. That's all right. One day you'll go, Pastor Mike, you were right. Your children will say you were right. I know because I'm sitting right here living proof of it. My mother raised me to say, yes, sir, no, sir, yes, ma'am, no, ma'am, please, thank you, may I, and put the fear of God in me. And yes, I wandered from it, but you know what? The Bible said that it raised me up in the way I should go, and when I grew old, guess what? I did not depart from it. You see where I'm at right now? I want you to know something, parents. Don't be discouraged. Keep going. Keep doing the right thing. I promise you, the Bible says his word will not come back void. Ooh. We got all these children in here. I want them to be raised up to be our next leaders. You understand? Those who are leading our country, leading our community, leading our churches, leading the next generation that comes after them. We have a great responsibility. Amen? Well, I went way off there, but I'm coming back. Y'all back with me? The grave. He didn't just escape death. He destroyed it. See, if Jesus won the victory, then why are we still living like we're losing? I'm going to say it again. If Jesus won the victory, why are we still living like we're losing? I'll tell you why, because you accept the devil's report and not Jesus' report. When we will start looking to the author and the finisher of our faith, if we'll start putting our trust into what he says, not what anybody else says, you will live victoriously. But when people start talking and you start accepting what they got to say over it, guess what? They're leading you right down the wrong path, and you're going to be the victim and not the victor. I don't know why that is, but some people want to just drag you down. You know that old saying, misery loves company? Well, keep them all by themselves. Let them be miserable all by themselves then. I don't want to be with them. I say, y'all come with me. Let us make a joyful noise together unto the Lord, all of us together. Amen?
Amen.
Because he rose, we rise. Because he lives, we live. And because he overcame, we overcome. Now, how many of you want to be an overcomer? Absolutely. How many of you are overcomers? There are times in life when I got to repeat this more often what happens is we see people get set free and saved. And then they feel like they're on top of the world and they're conquering the world. They feel like they know that the Bible is true and that they're overcomers. But you know what happens is that they go away from the flock. They get away from the people who want to encourage them and build them up. They get away from the Word of God. They start spending more time in the world with other people who have negative things to say and impart into their lives. And then before you know it, they don't even realize it. But we watch them, and they start to slide and slide and slide and slide. And then all of a sudden, they're all the way back down here to where they were beforehand. And then they feel like they're a victim again. And Jesus is trying to tell you, look, you've been an overcomer all the time. If you just stay hooked up with him, he'll lead you through. He'll make you victorious. I want to encourage you, spend more time with God's people than the devil's world. I'm no different than anybody else. I promise you, what I feed grows. And if I feed my flesh is going to grow. If I feed my spirit is going to grow. I know this because I've done both. And I'm going to tell you right now, if you're going to feed your flesh, you're going to live defeated. But if you're going to stay in the Word of God, if you're going to start learning out who you really are in Christ, you want to find out about that resurrection power that's in you, not just about it, but how to use it. How many of you know it does no good if you got a firearm, but you don't know how to use it? When an attacker comes in, if you don't know how to operate that thing, you might as well throw it at him. Because it doesn't matter. You got to know how to use your weapons. Woo, Jesus gave us some weapons to use. His name is the greatest weapon we could ever use right there. I speak the name of Jesus over everything that comes in my life, good and bad. Because I'm going to tell you, in the name of Jesus, I receive it. In the name of Jesus, I block it out. In the name of Jesus, I bind it. In the name of Jesus, I receive it. The power is in the name of Jesus, not in my words of who I am or you. Woo! Thank you, Jesus. The grave couldn't hold him. Point number three. We're moving right along here. I'm going to get y'all out before 2 o'clock today. I don't know why. All restaurants are going to be packed up anyway. You're going to have a 3-hour wait just to get a bologna sandwich somewhere. So you shouldn't be in any kind of a hurry. Maybe next year we'll set up like a little a buffet bar or something after church. Maybe that's what we need to do, and have some little sandwiches or something. And then we'll just preach all day. Y'all come back next Sunday. I'm kidding. I'm just playing. All right, point number three, resurrection power in the Spirit-filled church. There is power in the Spirit-filled church. Let's flip over into Acts here. Acts 1:8. See, the early church was on fire. If you read the accounts here, the church was spreading. But you know what happened? The church exploded. There was a massive movement of the church that went from just spreading to being on fire where it spread to everything. And I'm going to tell you it was Pentecost. See, when the power fell, when the power fell, nothing could contain it. When they were all in one accord together and the Holy Spirit, well, let's read it. Acts 1:8 says, "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." Did you notice that when it said the power when the Holy Spirit has come upon who?
You.
Upon you. Yeah. See, the Holy Spirit was here before, right? The Holy Spirit, let me tell you something, but it didn't dwell in people. Jesus said, "I need to go away." Do you understand that when I go away, the power is going to come down and I'm holding you back. Jesus was holding us back, but when he went and the Holy Spirit came, now all of us get to act on his behalf with that. You understand? Oh, man. So what happened in the early church is when Pentecost happened, they found there was power in them. And then when they came together, oh my goodness, the power was then magnified in Jesus' name. Woo! I'm ready to see the church filled with power. I'm ready to see the church on fire again like a matchbook. I don't want no one match. I want the whole thing set ablaze. We are a church that has something that is unique. We got the Holy Ghost. But more than that, we got the power of the Holy Ghost operating in us. That alone should make us different from everybody else, because everywhere that we go, we ought to be lighting a fire. Oh, we ought to be setting people on fire. When we get close to them, they ought to go, "Man, there's something different about this man." Woo, what's that off of you? When you pray for people, they ought to go, "Man, oh, I feel that. I feel that flowing through me." Woo, you and there ought to be something different about you that other people say, "I want what you got." Oh, I want a church like that. I don't want a church that wants to come in Sunday morning and sit down on the pew, say a few amens, and then check the box and go home. I want us to walk on out of here with power. I want to see the lame walk, the blind eyes opened up. I want to see people set free, addiction falling down, chains broken. That's what I want to see. You know what's going to happen? What happened when Jesus did miracles? Well, people came from afar. Well, they traveled everywhere to see the man. Oh, one of them climbed up into a sycamore tree. He wanted just to get a glimpse of what this was all about. Now, listen, sometimes we don't even want to get up on Sunday morning.
Come on.
Get up. Climb your sycamore tree. I'm telling you, Jesus got something waiting for you. If you'll show up, he'll show out. All we got to do is be willing to do that. There is power in the Spirit-filled church. We need to understand that. I want you to repeat after me, "I've got power.
I've got power.
I've got power.
I'm going to use my power.
I want to hear about it next week then. I'm telling you. People call, when they say, and somebody calls you and says, will you pray for me? Please don't say, I'll put you on the list.
Amen.
Amen. When somebody calls you, I was talking to Brother Roger about this the other day. When somebody tells you got a problem, don't wait around to pray for them. Hey, you tell them, hey, you want me to pray for you right now? Pastor Mike, what if it don't work? Who cares? Did the Bible tell you to worry about whether or not it works or not? Just told you to be faithful and do it.
Yeah.
Leave it up to God. What if they don't believe? Well, I don't care. But what if? But what if? Let me tell you, 5,000 prayers that don't answer for one person to be able to walk up out of here who came in a wheelchair, I think I'm going to pray for them 5,001 times.
Amen.
What if? What if that power started flowing through you because you started acting in faith to enable that power to start happening to you? Now you start to lay hands on people, and all of a sudden they're starting to feel real change happening in their bodies. Oh, what was that? Oh, I feel loose. Oh, look at my knee bending. Oh, God, I can see. Thank you, Lord. Oh, and then you know what they're going to do? You won't believe what happened. Roger prayed for me, and the tumor went away. You don't understand. Brother Trey came up. My back is loosed after he touched me. Praise God. Give him all the glory. That's what's going to happen. So we always have looked, or I did at least. I'm going to tell you something. When I first started coming to church, I looked to the pastor, and I said, well, he's got to pray for me. It's got to be him. And then you know what I got a hold of? He's just a man just like you and me. I'm just a man just like you. And let me tell you something. It ain't got nothing to do with me. It's got everything to do with the power that's in the name of Jesus flowing through the Holy Spirit in me. And if we will be reminded of that, then you know what? I don't take no fault when it don't work, and I don't take no credit when it does.
Amen.
I just do what God says to do, and I let him work everything else out. There was a video, I think I shared this with Tom. A guy had a back problem, and he got prayed for. The guy walked away, still hurting. Back still hurting. Gets on down the road, whatever. Come back about 15 minutes later. It back all loosened up. Oh, man. Oh, what kind of magic is this that you did? I can't believe this. Let me tell you, sometimes between your prayer and the effectiveness of it, I tell you what, I'm going to check back with you in 2 minutes. No, he prayed for him and moved on. And then know what? The man, just like the men with the leprosy, woo, the one came running back. I'm healed. I'm healed. And it had nothing to do with that man other than his faith. And he said that. I got faith, not in me, but I got faith in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
I got faith in the power of the Holy Ghost. Amen. That when Jesus told me to do it, I can do it. Jesus told you, you can do it. Start doing it. Start speaking to your mountains.
Amen.
Stop talking about them and start speaking to them. If you got something going on with your body, start speaking to it.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus, you can't stay in this temple of the God that I serve. You can't be in this house. In the name of Jesus, get on out. An 80-year-old man up here running around on the roof. I tell you right now, he was up here yesterday running around on the roof. I'm going to tell you, that ain't of his own accord. Ask him how he could do it. Is it not by the word that's built you up, brother? Woo. I'm going to live long. And I ain't going to be like an old. I'm going to live right up to the time it's time for me to go. I'm telling you, you think whatever you want to. I'm telling you. I'll be old, but I'm going to be a good old. I am. And let me tell you something. And when it's time for me to go, hallelujah, I'm on out of here. But up until that day, I'm going to tell you, I'm going to keep shouting the victory. I'm going to keep walking it out. Miss Jeanette, we're going to keep walking it out, ain't we? All the way. That's right. Don't matter how young, how old, I'm telling you right now, the devil ain't got no hold and no power and no authority over me. How about you? He got any authority over you?
No.
Victory is mine. Hear me.
Victory is mine.
Yes. Hallelujah. When we got power in the church, in the spirit-filled church, you won't be able to stop what's going to happen. You can, matter of fact, you can have every church in all of the county here praying against you, but if you're a spirit-filled church, ain't nothing going to stop this church.
That's exactly right.
Ain't nothing going to stop you.
You can have all your family members who don't like you. All your babies, cousins, aunts, brothers, sisters, uncles, babies, girlfriend that talks about you on Facebook and wants to smear your name and all that. They can't hold a candle to nothing because the Bible said no weapon formed against you shall prosper. Oh, we need to start turning that off and start turning into him and listening to him, what he's got to say. Ooh, I'm ready for that. Y'all ready for that?
Amen.
How many of you believe you're going to see miracles?
Yes.
I'm telling you. Let me preface this. I'm seeking the miracle maker.
Yeah.
I want you to understand something. I'm not just seeking the signs and wonders, but what the Bible says is that the signs and wonders should follow us who believe. So what I want to see is you believing. Me believing. Because when we do that, the other things will fall into place. So what I'm looking for is the fruit of the tree. What I want to see is, how is your spiritual life? Now, are we producing fruit? Because if we're producing fruit, people see fruit. You walk up to an apple tree, you know it's an apple tree because it's got an apple on it. An orange tree, you know it's an orange tree because it's produced fruit off of that tree. But if you walk up to it and it's got nothing on it, you're getting out your Google and you're trying to take a picture of it or something with this identify app they got or whatever. That's what Christians are like. Christians with no fruit aren't identifiable. You just look around and you go, well, who is that? Well, they say they're a Christian, but just because they say they're a Christian, are they producing fruit of a Christian? Because when we do that, you know what the fruit of us are? We'll cast out demons. The lame will walk. The blind will see. The captives will be set free. Those who once were dead will be risen again. How many of you want joy in your life? More joy. How many of you want more peace in your life? How many of you want more prosperity in your life? I'm telling you something. It's all there just waiting for us. You don't believe me? Tune into the news. See how much money the government's wasting. If you don't think there's money out there, there's trillions upon trillions of dollars sitting out there. Now, I'm telling you something. Why they got it and not me? Oh, you don't understand. Now, I don't want the trillions of dollars from my bank account. I want my trillions of dollars so we can start building youth centers. I want my trillions of dollars so we can start spreading the gospel to the ends of the earth. I don't want anybody to be in lack that I come in contact with. I want them to be blessed beyond measure. That's why I'm saying, I want these things, you want these things, it's time we start operating in these things. How many of you got power?
Yep, all of
them. All right, all of us, that's right, that's right. All right, moving on. These kids are, I want to find an Easter egg. I promise you, we're going to get to it. Y'all, hey, I will say, y'all are being really well-behaved children. Thank you, y'all give them a hand clap. Yeah. If it was me, I'd normally be running around the church by now. When I was a kid, my mom would take me to church. And it's, Michaela's got one over here right now. How many of you ever had a doodle pad when you were a kid? See, there was no children's church when I was growing up. They didn't have that. There was no nursery, was no children's church. You sat in the sanctuary. And so my mom would bring me a little pen and pad and paper. And I'd sit there and I would just draw and draw. And my mom would be, stop that. Stop it. Pay attention. Let me tell you something. Let them draw. Let them draw. Your kids hear more than you think. I promise you. You know why? Because I used to teach the little children. And I promise you, they tell me stuff that y'all didn't want me to know. And I could assure you, you weren't telling your kids what they were telling me. They were listening just fine. Number four. Last thing, huh? You're not meant to stay in the tomb either. Jesus wasn't meant to stay in there, and neither are you. Let's flip over into John. John chapter 11. Verse 43 and 44. Now when he had said these things, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he who had died came out, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was wrapped up with a cloth. Jesus said to him, loose him and let him go. Some of you have been living like Jesus is still in the grave. And I want you to know something. It's time for you to come out of your tomb too. Some of you have been defeated or feeling like life has been beating you up and that you have been put into a place that you don't want to be at, but you've accepted
your environment. You've accepted where you're at right now. But I want you to know something, that Jesus is calling you out just like he's calling Lazarus out. He said, Lazarus, come forth. Might as well be your name. Telling you, Robert, come forth. Brother Ron, come forth. Pastor Mike, come forth. He's calling each one of us individually and telling us that you don't need to stay in your tomb. You don't need to stay in your defeat position that you're in the fear that you're in. That he wants you to come out of that. He wants you to know that he died for you so that you could be resurrected out of that grave too. And that when he came out, he wants you to come out too. He wants you to come into the freedom that's in him. But I'm telling you right now that you may feel stuck. Some of us may feel bound by it. Or maybe you even feel dead. I've been there. Or it just seemed like I was just existing. I wasn't living. I was just trying to make it from day to day. Didn't understand what joy was. Didn't know what true peace was or happiness was. I just thought this is the way life was supposed to be. But then I met a man by the name of Jesus. He loved me so much, and I didn't feel lovable. And he thought of me when I couldn't even think of myself. And he gave me a hope and a future. And he told me that you don't have to stay in this anymore. That if you'll believe on me, if you'll confess with your mouth and believe with your heart, that this isn't where you have to stay. That you could come up out of this darkness and come and walk in my glorious light. And the day that I did that and I accepted him, there are people in this church can attest to who I used to be. And I'm a different man now. Not because of what I've done, but because of what he did for me. But I want you to know that he's no respecter of man. He wants to do the same thing for you. I want everybody to stand on your feet with me this morning. I know it's Easter Sunday, but that's not the reason why you're here. The reason why you're here today is because God called you here. I believe this message was for somebody here with us today. Every head bowed and every eye closed. I want you just to take a moment. I want you to think about this. That Jesus Christ died on that cross for your sins. The Bible says he gave up the ghost. He willfully and willingly died for you. And then he said, I'm not done yet. That was for your sins that you could never pay for. But he said, I want you to have victory. And 3 days later, early that Sunday morning, that stone was rolled away. And a living Savior walked out of it. A living Savior that is calling you out of that tomb as well. Calling you out into the light. If you're here today and you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you want to come out of that dark place you're in, today's an opportunity for you to do it. All you have to do is believe, confess with your mouth, and I would ask you to raise your hand right now. Raise it tall. If that's you and you say, Lord, I want to accept you as my Lord and Savior today. Amen. God bless you. I see your hand. Thank you, Jesus. I want to ask another question. You know, sometimes we've been saved, but we start giving our authority back over to the devil. We start sliding away to where we feel like we're right back in the tomb. You could be saved and not be victorious. Today I want to give you an opportunity, though, that if that's you and you say that I've wandered, I'm in that tomb, but I want to come out of that tomb, Lord Jesus. I want you to pull me out of that. Speak my name and call me out. If that's you, I want you to raise your hand right where you're at. You're right. Amen. God bless you. I see your hand. I see your hand. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Here's what I want to do. I told you that you've got power. As we worship this morning, you raise your hand. You want me to pray for you? I want you to come up front. But some of you just need another fresh touch of the anointing of God. And it's here for you today. While they sing the song and we worship, you want to come forward and just raise your hands and praise God, you can do that too. But I want us to spend the rest of this time during our service giving Jesus and God all the glory and all the honor to him. As we do that this morning, raise your hands up, lift your voice up, and I want to pray for you.